We have just a few little pieces left for the malacha of kosher before we move on to the next malacha. I'm not sure whether we're going to move on today or next year, but at least we have a little bit, some of the shirayim left over from kosher. So there was one of the last issues that we spoke about in terms of kosher was the Rambam's chiddush that kosher doesn't only apply to taking strings and making a knot, but if you take multiple strings and somehow combine them together in another format, namely through twining them together, but the Rambam described the making of a rope. So the Rambam says that was also considered to be a malacha d'oraisa of kosher. It was a big chiddush, the extension we set up for the Shmir Shabbos chasa. You're not permitted to turn the twisty ties on Shabbos. That's like different strings almost, like you're twining them together, making like a rope-like manner. So we said that the other poskim will say that that's not exactly a rope, that's a twisty tie. So maybe that wouldn't be an application of the Rambam, but the Shmir Shabbos thought it was. But we're not even sure that original statement of the Rambam is agreed upon by everybody. Not only we're not sure it's agreed upon by everybody, we could probably say with certainty that we're sure that it's not agreed upon. It would be the opposite way of saying it. This chiddush of the Rambam, that posel chavala, Rambam in Baragira Lachas, that posel chavala making of the ropes is considered to be a malacha, deraisa kosher, seems to be contradicted, at least argued upon by Rashi. So if you take a look at the 11th of the Marmakobos, the Masechas Beitz, Lamed Aleph of the Beis, the Gemara is actually not really even addressing the Malach of Kosher, and that's of course going to be the question, why didn't the Gemara address the Malach of Kosher? The Gemara is addressing the issues of Bona and Soser. Now, we haven't really spoken about Bona and Soser yet, those Malachas way, way down the line, but of course the basic Malach being that one is not permitted to build something, one is not permitted to demolish something. The Malachas of Bona and Soser, for the most part, apply to things which are Karka, or things which are Mechubal Karka. Let's say, for example, to knock down a house, that's a malacha of Sosia. To build a house, to fix something on a house, that's a malacha of Bona. Something which is not part of the ground, not connected to the ground, generally speaking, is not subject to the malacha of Bona and Sosia. I'm hemming and hawing when I'm saying generally speaking, because there are certain circumstances where there may actually be malacha of Bona, even on non-karka. But the Rishonim call Asiyas Kli Mechadash, the person builds a utensil from scratch. You take all the raw materials and you manage to make something, you build something from scratch. So that, according to the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, that's also considered to be the Malacha of Bona. That just is a jump ahead. We're not talking about Bona yet. That's the source for the famous Pesach of the Chazanish. And the Chazanish held that all of electricity is a shail of Bona because you're basically building it. You're taking something which is not functioning and you're giving it life. You're taking it, say, for argument's sake, if you have a fan that's plugged in, so right now it's nothing, it's a broken entity, it doesn't work, it's not functioning. You give it a kick, you plug it in, you turn on the switch, all of a sudden it's coming to life, you've now built that fan. So the Chaznish has a double chiddush. He says that, number one, that's called Asiyas Kli Mechadash, which the Rad and the Sefer Shabbos claims, it's about according to everybody, would be Chayv Mishum Bona. Then the Chaznish has a second chiddush. He says that, even without that rod, it's still Bona, because it's like Binyan and Karka, because the fan is Mechubala Karka. It's the fan Mechubala Karka. It's plugged into the wall. Whatever is plugged into the wall is considered like Mechubala Karka. So that's a double Chiddush of the Chazanish, that turning on a fan or turning on any device is a Malacha of Bona, either because it's a Siyas Kli Mechadash, or because it's Binyan Karka. So hopefully down the line, at some point, we'll get to Malacha's Bona and Soser. We're going to have to come back to this Chazanish. We'll probably come back to this Chazanish 20 times before that because it comes up in many, many different contexts. But the basic distinction between Karaka versus Kalim does exist. Whether there are certain Yotzim in a klal up for discussion, but the basic structure of Hilchas Bona is that Bona is much more limited to Karaka than to Kalim is true. So it's based on this that the Gemara has the following statement in the 11th of the Marmakomos and Beitzit Laman Alpha and Beitz. I'm a Shmuel. Chosama shebekarka, matir of alom afkia v'lochotech, shebekelim, matir umafkia v'chotech. If a person has something which is connected to the ground, which is locked up, let's say, for example, he has a cellar door, the Rishonim described, and it's locked up through some kind of a rope, and he wants to open up the rope in order to get into the place, which is part of the karka, so how can he do that on Shabbos? So if he wants to untie the tie, so that he would be permitted to do so, just to take it apart. And assuming that there's no kosher issue, it's not up to 24 hours, or it's not a maisa umma, and all the things that we spoke about in the past. But two things you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to mafkia achotech. You're not allowed to destroy the rope. You're not allowed to destroy the lock. Because if you destroy it, then we're talking about a totally different malacha. Then we're talking about a potential malacha of sosia. So Shmuel is contrasting and saying, if you just want to undo it, that's okay, provided that you got around kosher matir issues. So just merely undoing a rope is not a problem. But the destruction of a rope, because the rope is mechubal akarka, that's a problem. That would strike a malacha of sosia. But Shabbat Caleb, what if you have a type of a rope that's serving as a lock on a treasure chest? So here it's not mechubal akarka, so it's not considered to be part of the malacha of sosia. So that's what Shmuel continues and says, matu mafkia v'chaltech. So then everything's okay. You can even destroy it, you can break it apart, you can do whatever is necessary to do would be permissible. So comes Rashi on the spot and says, "Avalomafkia hachevel listar avosa ugdilaso." So Rashi says that the discussion of the Gemara about undoing the knot or untwining the knot or unzipping the knot, whatever you want to call it, so Rashi says that's referring to the issue of undoing the rope. It means there are different ways to destroy a rope. Either you can take a scissors and cut through the rope, or you can undo the knot, or you can mamish untwine it. You can mamish unravel the rope. So Rashi says that the unraveling of the rope is part of the discussion of Shmuel, and Shmuel doesn't have so much problems with it. By karka, he has problems with it because of sosia issues, but just the very act of undoing a rope doesn't seem to be a major issue according to Shmuel. So the Kivega, Shabu, later Acharenim, Medayik, that this Rashi seems to disagree with the Rabbah. The fact that Rashi defined the word mafkia, the Gemara doesn't say what mafkia means. Maybe mafkia means to cut with the scissors. Maybe mafkia means to cut with the knot. I don't know what mafkia means. Rashi, who's stuck into the Gemara, mafkia means listor avoso diloso, to untwine, unravel a rope. So Rashi seems to be assuming that unlike the Rambam, who said that unraveling is an automatic malacha, that's a ein lecha malacha gedolah mizu, that would be matir, a kosher. So Rashi doesn't seem to be encouraged that. Rashi doesn't seem to have had that at all. Again, it doesn't make that much of a difference for us, lahalacha, even if Rashi does disagree with the Rambam, because it's a shava deraisa, so no one's going to go ahead and unravel robes, but it is a little bit, makes us feel a little bit better, just in case maybe at one time we may have undone the twisty ties in a challah bag, so we don't have to klap achay that much. We don't have to klap achay according to the Rambam. According to Rashi, maybe it wasn't so terrible. But again, we're not even sure that even according to the Rambam, the twisty ties are really a problem. So we have a kind of an unofficial shtickle, sveik sveika. Now, maybe unraveling ropes is osur, and maybe it's mutter. And even in Tumsaloma, that it's osur, maybe undoing a twisty tie is not the equivalent of unraveling a rope. So, Betzir, of those two things, those who want to be Mekel, as I've said before, the policy of the Sobolovsky home is that twisty ties are undone by those who want to do them. I personally try not to do them. But those who do them, it's hard to say that it's a mamish not right there. There's another tzad, a little bit lahokel on the twisty ties, is that one can argue that maybe they're called a little bit Eno Shel Kayama. Why are they called Eno Shel Kayama? Even though it's quite possible, depending how fresh or stale your challah is, but it's quite possible they've been around for more than 24 hours. But they were twisted on the condition with the understanding that the customer is going to untwist them whenever the customer wants to do that. So according to many poskim, that's called Eino Shel Kayama. It's not like the candy bags for Shabbos. The candy bags for Shabbos, we made the candy bags last week, so we had, if somebody would have gone, one of my kids would have gone ahead this week and undone one of the knots, so I would have cared less. My wife would have said, "Why? What are you doing? It's not time yet to undo it." So when Shabbos comes, it's already been, quote unquote, kayam. It's already been around for a week and a half. So that's called the potential kasha shel kayam. I said the rabbanon, depending on what we spoke about earlier in the week. Whereas by the challahs, so it's true that maybe the challahs were the twisting ties were put on Monday, and I'm not getting around to untying them until Friday night, but in theory, I could have bought the challah Monday and eaten it for dinner Monday night. No one would have screamed at me. No one would have said, "Gevalt, you're undoing the twisty tie before a week is over." So it could be that when something is, although it's on the clock, has been kayama, but intentionally it was never really made for a real kayama, according to many posts, that's not even called kayama. So we have a few tzadim lahokel by the twisty tie. So again, those who want to be mekel have grounds to be mekel. But again, the issue is Rashi versus the Rambam. Even according to the Rambam, we're not sure it's osur, and we're not even sure that this kayama in the first place. There was another dimension of kosher that came up. It really came up in passing, but I thought we'd just spend this couple of moments talking about it. We spoke about the difference between a kesher and a naniva, about a naniva, making a bow. So we said that there was machlekes atenoyim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon whether aniva is considered to be an act of kesher altogether. So we pasken like the chachamim that a bow is not really considered to be a knot. So the halacha, bows are really permissible. The only thing that threw us off in terms of making bows is that very often you make a bow by first making a knot. So you make a single knot and then you bow over the knot. So although the Ramah sounded like, don't worry about it, nogim bohet, the Ramah said everything's great, everything's gevaldik. So the later Achronim put the brakes on the Ramah. We saw on Wednesday, that means that a bow is not considered to be a maise umun. It's not considered to be a professional knot, but it's still a maise hedyot. And as such, if it's shal kayama, it would pose a problem, at least according to some Rishonim. So bows are not the greatest thing. They're better than knots, but they're not the absolute greatest thing. But in the middle of the discussion about bows and knots, there's one thing that the Gemara says is absolutely clear. That's his belishim. I know something about it. The Gemara says, what if a person would want to make on his tefillin, he would want to make a bow? It's easier. Sometimes, you know, the tefillin has to be adjusted. Not everyone knows how to adjust. No problem. Just make a shoelace. Make a bow. Instead of making a knot, instead of making an official kasher, make it an aniva. So would that be acceptable or not? So the Gemara says, what? He says, why do you cry? How can anyone even dream that a bow would be good? No matter what you hold about bows in Shabbos, a bow on tefillin is out of the question. And the reason is, the Gemara says, because kesher shel tefillin, halacha lemay should be seen. The requirement of a knot for tefillin is an outright halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and therefore it's not negotiable. There's nothing to talk about making a bow on your tefillin. So in case anyone had any havam in making bows on your tefillin, the Gemara rejects it by saying, kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Nevertheless, within that statement of the Gemara, of kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe m'sinai, there's a major, major machlik, as we've shown him. Well, again, halacha l'maisa. What exactly that term means? What does that phrase mean? It's based on this term, kesher tefillin halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that prevents us from going the easier option of just making a bow. So Rashi has a comment on that Gemara, when the Gemara uses the phrase kesher shel tefillin halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, because after all, we all know that in the tefillin has to be the Shem Hashem. In the tefillin has to be Shem Hashem, because it says, Ro kol ami ha'aretz, ki Shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yar b'mecha. It says that the goyim will see that the tefillin is on you. Kishem Hashem nikra lecha. Hashem's name is on you. V'yar b'mecha. So the Gemara is a drasha. Elu tefillin shebirosh. This refers to tefillin that a person is wearing on one's head. So somehow in the tefillin shebirosh, you find somewhere, somehow, the Shem Hashem, and that's going to create this fear, this awe, and even the Umas HaOil, even the non-Jews are going to realize, Kishem Hashem nikra lecha. Elu tefillin shebirosh. The famous Maisa with the Gra, that once the Gra was walking in the street in Vilna, you know, the Gra was out of the phone all the time. She was walking in the street, and there was some guy who was beating up some Jew. So as soon as the Gra walked by, so the guy saw the Gaon, he saw the Vilna Gaon. He got so nervous, he got so scared, that he ran the other way. So he asked the Gra, what is he? It's Baal Mei Feis. What happened? They just saw you. So the Gemara says, not about my face. The Pasuk Chumash. It says that Elu Tefillin Shebirosh. I'm wearing tefillin. Maybe if you read tefillin at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it would have the same effect. The Gemara didn't say that. I'm just adding that on. So Elu Tefillin Shebirosh. So apparently, the way the story/legend continued was that somebody else decided to pull off the same stunt. They ran to the base, put the Pasuk Tefillin. Try to show off, and they got themselves beat into a pulp. So they asked the girl afterwards, says, what happened? How come for you it worked? For me, I got the two black eyes. What's going on? So I'm also wearing tefillin. So the girl says, no. I don't believe the girl said this, but it's a chassidic story about the girl. You can take it or leave it, whatever you want to do with that piece of information, whatever historical authenticity is. So the way the response was that if you look at Chazal, they say, V'yara mimeka, elu tefillin shabir rosh. It doesn't say Elu Tefillin Sha'al HaRosh. It says Elu Tefillin Shabir Rosh. A lot of people could wear tefillin. Just, in fact, if you have tefillin on your head, that's a Gunnish Galfin. That's not going to help. Elu Tefillin Shabir Rosh means when the pashas of the tefillin permeate into your head, when you become a Vilna Gaon, that your entire being becomes the pashas of tefillin, even the Umas HaOlam, they're going to get terrified of that. Just the guys, Jews walking 2 o'clock, they have to do 1,000 tefillin, don't think it's necessarily going to protect you. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Rashi says, since there's a din of Shem Hashem on the tefillin, and Chazal associate the Shem Hashem with being the tefillin Shem Barosh, where's the Shem Hashem? So Rashi does the math. Rashi says, well, we know there's a halacha Moshe Mesinai that you have to have a shin on your bias at tefillin. That's a given. Shin is the first of the letters of Hashem's name of Shakai. Then Rashi says, well, there has to be a kesher shel tefillin. We know that also. That's also the Gemara just said, a halacha Moshe Mesinai. What does the kesher shel tefillin have to look like? It has to have a dalet. Says Rashi, when the Gemara says that ilu is a kesher shel tefillin, is halacha Moshe Mesinai, it doesn't mean you just make a knot. It means you have to make a knot in a very, very specific way. It has to resemble a dalet. So that's already two out of the three letters. Where's the third letter? That's on the tefillin shel yad. And the way the kesher, the tefillin shel yad looks, so that resembles a little bit of a yud. So you have the three letters of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, Shakai. Two of them are in the tefillin shel rosh. One of them is in the tefillin shel yad. Says Rashi, since the tefillin shel rosh has rov of the yosei shebashem, rubik kakula. So three pieces of meat, two of them are kosher, one set. Rov of the shem is in the tefillin shel rosh, elu tefillin shel barosh. That's why it says kishem shem mikra lecha, specifically for the tefillin shel rosh. This is Rashi's pshat. So you see a tremendous chiddush from Rashi's pshat. You see from Rashi that when the Gemara says Kesha shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai, it doesn't mean you can make a Boy Scout's knot. It doesn't mean you can make a sales knot. It doesn't mean you can make a camel driver's knot. It means you have to make a very specific knot. Licked in the halacha Moshe Mesinai, part of the halacha Moshe Mesinai is that the knot has to look like a dalet, and together with the shin and the dalet, then you have the hakam b'dako. You have the oasis of the Sheb Hashem of Shakai. So according to Rashi, not only is there a halacha Moshe Mesinai of a kesher shel tefillin, but there's a halacha Moshe Mesinai that it has to look like a very, very specific manner. This is Shittas Rashi. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos says it's not true. Tosfos says, when the Gemara says that kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai, the Gemara never says dalet shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai. When it comes to the bias of the shel rosh, so the Gemara says shin shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai. You can't make any letter you want in the bias. If you form another letter in the bias, not a shin, it's a tefillin apostle and a Torah. Shin shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara never says dalet shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara says kesher shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mesinai. It has to be a kesher. It doesn't say it has to look like. It doesn't say that it has to be a dalet. And some Rishonim want to bring a raya to a Tosfos. It's a very interesting raya. You could poop about this raya, but not for now. Some of the Rishonim want to bring a raya for Tosfos, the Mordechai, if I'm not mistaken, that it can't be that the dalet is really part of the Shem Hashem. Because if it would, then it would be also to undo the dalet. Let's say you want to switch your ritzuos. You want to take your ritzuos off, so you were just mechik as Hashem. You just destroyed Hashem's name. You had a shin, you had a dalet, you had a yud, and you took, I mean, again, that's not exactly, you took an eraser, and you erased the dalet. But unraveling the ritzuos, but undoing the ritzuos, untying the ritzuos, you erased part of Shem Hashem. If you would take a knife and scratch away the shin on the tefillin shel rosh, so the Rishonim, right, that would be an issur, that would be like mechikas Hashem. So when you undo the dalet, that should be mechikas Hashem. Since lo shamanu davazem yelam, known in the wildest dreams of earth, such a thing, you see from here that the dalet is nishken, part of the, not part of the lachamur sinai. There's no lachamur sinai that has to be a dalet. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, but Tosfos means it like this. Tosfos means that there's no halacha Moshe Mesinai what the kesher has to look like. It could look like a dalet, it could look like a Boy Scout knot, it could look like a sailor's knot, it could look like a camel driver's knot. As long as it's a knot, as long as it's a kesher, that's all that matters. So that's what the Pasha Pshad in the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is. The Rashi is learning that it has to be a kesher and a specific kesher. And Tosfos is learning, it doesn't have to be a specific kesher as long as it's any kind of a kesher whatsoever. So the Briska Rav, there's a very, very long Shavuot. This is like a classic brisk. The Briska Rav is a famous word, Bedasa Tosfos, that when Tosfos says that the Kesher Shel Tefillin doesn't have to be a Dalet, says the Briska Rav, there are two halachas. There's a din of a Tzuras Dalet, and then there's a din of a Ksivas Dalet. So what do the words mean? When it comes to the Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Shin and Tefillin Shel Rosh, not only does it have to be a dalet, I'm sorry, not only does it have to be a shin, but it has to be a ksivas ois shin. There's a din ksiva that's chal. It's the halacha requires that you write the shin, not with the ink and a parchment. You have to form it with tweezers, with mices. You have to pull out the shin, you have to create a shin. And it's chal on that shin of the tefillin shel rosh, on the bias, a din ksivas ha'ois. It's my nefkamida, it's chal on a din ksivas ha'ois. Not just that it has to be there, but you have to mamash write it. So there's a din, the Torah says that only somebody who is chayev in the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, can write the parshas of tefillin, can write the parshas of mezuzah, can write the tefillin. Let's say a non-Jew would not be acceptable to write the parshas. A woman would not be acceptable to write the parshas. A katan would not be acceptable to write the parshas. Whoever is not chayiv in the midst of tefillin, min haTorah, cannot write. Uksaftam is referring both to the ksivas of mezuzah as well as to the ksivas parshas of tefillin. So comes the Brisker Rav and says, since the din is that the shit on the Shorosh has a din of ksivas ahoyis, if a woman would form that shin, the tefillin would be possible in the Torah. If a katan would form that shin, if a goy would form that shin, the tefillin would be possible in the Torah. Because there's a din of ksivas ahoyis according to everybody. When it comes to the kesher shel tefillin, it could be, says the Brisker Rav, that Tosfos concedes that it has to look like a dalet. Everyone agrees it has to look like it. There's a tzura, it's not a free fall, it's not a game. You can make the... Each person has their own kesher in the back. Of course there's a din that has to look like a dalet. But, says the Brisker Rav, it has to look like a dalet, but it's not a din of ksivas dalet. It's a din dalet without a ksivas dalet. It's a tzura's dalet without a ksivas dalet. Therefore, according to Tosfos, maybe it would be okay for a katan or a woman to tie the dalet in the back. That's why the Mordechai explains there's no issue of mechikas Hashem on the kesher. There is a din of mechikas Hashem on the shin, because that's Shem Hashem, that's nichtav. When you write the Shem Hashem, you're not allowed to erase a written Shem Hashem. To quote unquote erase, to undo a dalet in the back, even though it looks like a dalet, but it was never written, it's not chabo Hashem ksivas ois. It's a very, very fancy word from Brisker Rav. There are others who disagree, others say, you can look at whatever you want it to look like. There is no such halacha Hashem sinai. So we have a three-way machlekes here. Have we shown him what in the world does it mean when we say that tefillin kesher shel tefillin is halacha moshe mesinai? We know for a fact it has to be a kesher. We know for a fact it cannot be an aniva. That's the fresh in the Gemara. Does that mean that it's got to be mamish a ksivas a dalad b'chol hilchas a ksivas a ha'ois? That's what Rashi seems to say. Or is it a tzuras dalad without a din ksiva? That's how the Brisker Rav seems to say. But that's Tosfos. Another Rishon seems to say it's mamish and garnish, it's nothing. We know there are different minhagim as to exactly, even assuming it has to look like a dalet, what exactly does looking like a dalet mean? So there are two traditions in Klal Yisrael, what does look like a dalet mean? That's what we call the single dalet or the double dalet. There are really more than that in terms of traditions in Klal Yisrael. Those are the two that most of us will bump into. So there are those who insist that the dalet has to look, you take one look at it and you see, thus is a dalet. See, it's what we call a single dalet. Means you look at it, you see it has a top to it, has a side to it. Looks about as close to a dalet as you can. And there are others who have a tradition that it looks like almost like a square. At least we call it a double dalet. Because again, I'm not holding by the Boy Scouts part of the knots, but if you make the what we call the double dalet, so kishma kenu. So it's really two dalets that are combined together. So we have a double dalet, four part knot. So according to other posts, that's the correct knot. That's what the dalet is supposed to look like. So we're not even sure exactly what this dalet is supposed to look like, but we pass the luck. Either one is okay. Anything that either looks mamish like a dalet, or it's a hidden dalet, a single dalet, double dalet, whatever it is, anything that's in the parish of a dalet is also good enough. That's what our tradition is, that either one is okay. The Mishnah Berurah prefers the single dalet. Okay, so those who follow the Pesach and the Mishnah Berurah, so they have a single dalet. They say from the Rav that the Rav preferred a single dalet. That this is only Piyash Shmua. I wasn't there. I never heard it from him directly. But apparently the Rav said that in most things you should follow whatever your minigava says. Whatever your father did, your grandfather did, you should follow. But the Rav thought there were some things that even if your family tradition was one way, he thought you should change it. So one of them was eating in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. He said he doesn't care what your family tradition was, you should be eating in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. And number two, he said, if your family tradition was to have a double dollar, just switch it to a single dollar. So again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. The regular Poskim don't say that. But again, that was the Rav's particular tradition from Brisk, that they felt that the single dalet was the more correct dalet. But again, lamaisa, whatever the lumdus, the background that the dalet is, single, double, or is it a din dalet, an ois dalet, a tzuras dalet, a ksivas dalet, there's a lot of lumdus. There's one last part of the sugya, which is really a malacha in and of itself. We're not going to spend too much time on it. It's the opposite of malacha of kosher. That's the malacha of matir. So the malacha of matir is everything we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks about kosher, just plug it into matir. Any knot that you're not allowed to make, so you're not allowed to untie as well. The only real, I mean, there's a little bit to talk about matir, but the main question about matir is really raised in Tosfos in the 14th of the Marma Kamos. The Tosfos raised a very, very simple question. Sarch Ian, Dafayin Gimel and Aleph. It's a very strange way of Taitis. Taitis very rarely talks like Tzarchiyun. Tzarchiyun is more of a Lashon Acharonim use. But Taitis reads Tzarchiyun, Imechaya b'mathir shalo amanas likshor ilo. So Taitis says, we know there are certain malachas that you only chaya for that malacha if you do it on the condition to do a different malacha. Say, for example, to a mochek, if you erase a letter. If you just erase a letter, that's not chayav. You have to be mecha minas lichtav. You have to erase on the condition to rewrite in order to be chayav min haTorah. Maybe it's Rabbanan it's also, but the issa deraisa, the amalacha, is only if it's amanas lichtav. Well, let's say kareah. If I rip something, if I rip it amanas litfor, on the condition to resew it, then I'm considered to be chayav. Or so amanas livnos. If I knock down a building and I'm not planning on rebuilding it, so that's makalchav, so I'm not chayav. But if I do it amanas livnos, then I'm chayav. So those are the three malachas that the Mishnah singles out explicitly. It has to be on manas. By tofer, mochek, and mochek, kosev, korea, tofer, sosa, boner. When it comes to matir, kosher, that phrase doesn't appear in the Gemara, which leaves us to a tzarchian. What would the din be? Should we say that matir is the fourth of those malachas, that you're only chaya for matir if you undo a knot, you untie a knot on the condition to retie it? Well, maybe I could say no. Maybe I can say that somehow matir stands on its own 2 feet. The matir is considered to be malacha even without the almanas lichtav. So Taz leaves the tzarachim. So they try to bring raya's back and forth and back and forth. At the end of the day, Taz just couldn't dig up any raya's. So Taz is not really sure what the din's going to be. So hopefully next week we have to talk a little bit more about this before we move on to the next malacha. That, first of all, why should or should it not be true, the suffix in Taisvus? And number two, even assuming that it's true that you require matir almanas lichtav, so we have to just to figure out a little bit what exactly it means, what exactly the parameters of that statement are, assuming such a thing exists. Again, according to one side and Taisa, there is no such requirement, but al atzad, there is such a requirement, just to fine-tune a little bit what exactly that may actually mean. So we're still, the malach of kosher, we pretty much finished. The malach of matir we still have left. I put it as part of the Maamar Kavos of kosher. It's not all that much to talk about, so it kind of become bottled to kosher. So hopefully we'll talk a little bit about this on Tuesday, and then we'll move on to the next malach of kosher.
But from the Gemara, you can't...
It's the problem is the Gemara has very, very little to say about matir. It never uses the phrase matir v'nasik. I think we actually have the next memo comes.